This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. This is the Fast Break Podcast. I am Sean Anderson. Alongside me is Ricky Whitmer.
Hey, guys.
And Dave Oster.
How's it going?
And see, we're going to go, you know, I did Dave first one time, but now we're going back to the original way.
Weird. Don't change
I'm not
things.
Changing it. We're going back to the original place. Today, we're going to be talking about Chad Ford's mock draft 7.0. Then we're going to be going into, you know, coach talk, Frank Vogel getting hired, Jeff Hornacek getting hired, my boy, and possibly Mike D'Antoni getting hired. For the Houston Rockets, so fuck Kenny Smith. And then finally, we're going to wrap it up with a little bit of a fun idea we had. The idea was brought up about, you know, will LeBron James, or is this the last time Cleveland can win the last year that Cleveland can win a finals with LeBron James? And then that somehow came into that who is the best player in the NBA. And now we're going to kind of have some fun and do a mock draft, or not really a mock draft, but a fantasy draft with those players. But before we jump in, if you are listening to this and you do want to support MVP in a different way, check out patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast. We would really love the support, and there are some fun perks on there. But let's jump right in. Mock draft 7.0 from Chad Ford. The combine is come and gone. The lottery is come and gone. We have the set lineup, and nothing's changed. 76ers at 1, Lakers at 2, Celtics at 3. Let's look into it, because it's going to be Simmons and Ingram's 1 and 2, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And Ricky kind of said that the Celtics were screwed in our lottery reaction, because, you know, they don't have a 1 or 2 superstar here, and they're really going to have the guy that they have to develop.
Well, it wasn't the fact that they didn't have that superstar. To me, how I see it is there's a few people, like, before, when we were talking in the 6.0, it was Simmons 1, Ingram 2, Murray 3, and that's what Chad Ford still has.
Yep.
However, if you listen to some of the sports talk radio that's going on, there's a few people throwing it out there that on just player rankings alone, you've got Simmons, Ingram, and then a Chris Dunn. And the thing is, if Chris Dunn is the guy who is higher ranked than Murray, if you're the Celtics, you're not going to take Chris Dunn, because guess what? You don't need Chris Dunn. Do you then go with a Murray and say, fine, we've got our shooter? Or do you go with a Dragon Bender and say, hey, we're going to go with the kid who's coming over from overseas? He's a little bit younger, but we think he's going to have the potential of maybe. The thing with Bender that I'm hearing is, could he be what Porzingis was to the Knicks? That guy that nobody, like, oh, we're questioning him. And then he comes in and he's a star. So for me, the Celtics, the first two picks are easy. Boom, boom. Take whoever you want who's there. Simmons or Ingram for the first one, then whoever's left over for the two. The third pick is where it starts. Well, what are you going to do?
Why wouldn't they pick Chris Dunn here? I mean, a best player available.
They got Isaiah Thomas.
Best player available, though, is not the worst thing in the world.
And I'm throwing this in there. I don't think Chris Dunn's the best third player. I think Murray is the third best player in this draft. So, I mean, I can see them going with Murray. I mean, you know, you have Isaiah Thomas, like Ricky's saying.
I feel like, yeah, between Murray and Dunn, they're close. Buddy Hield, I feel, is like a small drop-off after that because of his limited guard ability.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I honestly think there's the question of, okay, you've gotten this outstanding play out of Isaiah, and at the same time, all right, maybe Chris Dunn, maybe Murray, either way, even if you do like Dunn a little more, why not take Dunn? You can groom him to replace Isaiah. Isaiah's going to go get a big contract somewhere. I don't like the need to attach yourself to a player after one explosive season.
I don't like that, just in the fact of Boston plays in the East, and in the East, unless you're totally conceding to the fact, fuck it, LeBron and the big three are there, we're not going to beat them.
Well, they've proven that.
You're kind of conceding to that fact that, whatever, we don't need to make a play. I'd rather go with a player that's going to help you win now than, oh, we'll take a guy, and eventually he's going to take over for Isaiah Thomas.
See, the thing is about with, you know, Chris Dunn is that he's supposedly going to be an elite defender, and I can't really argue that. I mean, he does look great defensively, averaging 2.5 steals last season, then the year before, 2.7 steals, but he really didn't impress me, you know, this year. I mean, he didn't really, you know, blow me out of the water. I mean, Providence was supposed to be so great, and they just, you know, kind of fell flat this year.
Well, they were early on, and then they got the conference play.
Yeah, they fell flat this year. And then I look at Murray, a guy who wasn't completely consistent, but did turn it on in the second half of the season, and did have, you know, better three-point shooting. You know, he averaged more points. I think he can be the better scorer out of the two. And I think if you're looking at Boston, I mean, this team is pretty good defensively. You don't really need Chris Dunn to do that. And you got Avery Bradley, who's a phenomenal defender. You have Jay Crowder, who's a phenomenal defender. I think you go Jamal Murray, and you don't really know his defensive upside. I mean, it might be limited at some point, but, I mean, he still is an athletic player, so he might be able to develop that defensive side to him. So I'm thinking, you know, Murray's younger. You can mold him into your system because he hasn't really played in a system long enough to really be molded into one, and he's clearly the better shooter. And with a guy like Isaiah Thomas, who makes a living basically like driving off, driving into the hole, I think, you know, going with Murray is just the smart decision. And I think he is the third best player. And I think it's pretty clear that, you know, it really depends on what position they want to go to. If they want to go guard, you go Jamal Murray without a doubt in my mind. And if you want to go with a forward, you're going to go Bender, just because, you know, you don't know his, it's basically limitless upside. I mean, he doesn't really have a ceiling because you don't know really where he is, because he's not playing a lot overseas. But then again, you look at his, you know, measurements and his ability, then you just look at this crazy high ceiling for him.
Well, they need a shooter. So in my mind,
Bender can be a shooter.
Yeah, I know.
From the four.
I was going to say they need a shooter. So if they go Murray, Bender, or Heald, boom, those are the three guys that are. If you take one of those with that pick, right, I'm not going to be mad at you.
I think Porzingis has done so much for Dragon's stock that honestly it wouldn't be out of reach to take him at three,
because how many people bash that pick, especially New York fans?
Oh, tons. And the it'll be a work in progress, you know, two three years maybe, and then instant impact. So I think
that's what we were saying about Porzingis, though, and then he showed right up,
and that's why I think Bender could do the same thing, because in Boston you have that weird mid-range of bigs but not great bigs, so they can fill in holes around him and give that presence, you know, the down low, the stretch four area, and really that expands their game so much more that maybe, okay, so they can go get another shooter a little bit further down the line for that two guard role, but maybe you won't find somebody else who can play a 4-5 role like he can with the same versatility, the same upside. I think it might be in their best interest to take him at three.
I mean, I could see it. I could totally see it.
I used to have Bender there, but I do kind of have a love-hate relationship with Bender, because I said this in my mock draft. It's basically because of Porzingis. You know, I don't want to write this guy off because, you know, we saw, you know, an international player come over and, you know, be looked down upon when he's coming into the draft, and then just impress immediately. But then if you look at what Bender's done overseas, he hasn't really impressed that much or at all, really. I mean, when he is starting, he's not playing well, and when he is doing great, he's not even putting up that great of numbers. I mean, there's obviously you could see his potential there, but then again, I mean, where is the potential really going to cap off? Because then you kind of look at it like, and I know this is kind of crazy compared to these two, but, you know, he's kind of like Thon Maker. You don't know what he can really do, because I know Thon. You know,
I was hoping for like the maybe
or a scale. I don't know.
Nikolai Mirotic. I mean, we got.
That might be a better. I was trying to go more with a, like, you know, a player.
Got a Euro player who had a ton of hype, and you know, he actually Nikolai was actually really good.
I was going to say that the Celtics could use Bender exactly like Nico on the Bulls.
Well, that's maybe
exactly.
Thank you for making my comparison better.
The only difference is Bender's a little bit taller.
A little
he's
bit bigger.
Over 7 foot where Mirotić
is. And he's younger. He's 18 still.
And 25 for Mirotić right now.
I mean, you've got a lot of growing time. I don't even know if they would bring him over. I assume it would be instantly.
Oh, he's coming over.
Yeah, no. There's been reports that he's not going to be a draft and such, that he will play immediately, or he can play immediately.
So, I mean,
you've
got somebody who you're going to have on the court at age 18, 19. I mean.
And there's really not a better coach to work with younger players than Brad Stevens. I mean,
we talked about that before, definitely.
It might be the best fit for him, but again, you don't know what he can actually do. I mean, there's a lot of potential there, but then again, you know, what is his actual, you know, level of play coming in immediately?
We've seen Euros come over here and just absolutely fall flat, and it's like, okay, maybe they just had their thing overseas. It's a different level of competition. It's a different play style, and in the NBA, you're playing against bigger, stronger guys. Maybe they just can't hold their own over here.
You don't want this to be a Bargnani. You don't want to be you don't want to be a Darko. You know, you don't know. You could be a Darko. You could be, you know, a Bargnani, or you could be a Dirk. You could be a Porzingis.
Add this to the offseason list, but we got to add a redraft of the Darko Milicic draft during
that's
going to
be easy, though. Darko's just not going to be in the first round.
We got to do it. But the one thing I was going to bring up is, what if the Celtics don't keep the pick?
If
they get rid of it?
You talked about this too on the draft or the lottery reactions that, you know, that the Lakers might trade their pick, but I mean, looking at the Celtics, I think the Celtics are the most likely team to trade their pick.
Here's what I got, and I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a preview, because this is a piece I'm working on currently for mostvaluablepodcast.com, so you're going to have to make sure you're checking that out to know exactly when this goes up, but it's an article about Jimmy Butler trade rumors, but one of them includes the Celtics. And within this trade, the Celtic part, I'll just give you that, the Celtics get the second overall pick, which, let's be honest, right now it looks like that's going to be Ben Simmons because the Sixers, not Ben what? Simmons, Brandon Ingram.
Oh, I thought you were breaking
No, because the Sixers like Ben Simmons. That's what I was trying to say. So we know that the Celtics would get Brandon Ingram. Hey, that's a guy who can be your shooter. You're getting a top two guy in the draft. Lakers get the third and the 16th overall this year for the second.
I mean, looking at that, I think you took that from Cowherd, right? Or he laid some of the groundwork, correct?
His was, I'll be honest, his was third, 16th, and 23rd. I only took the third and the 16th because I don't think the second overall pick in Brandon Ingram is worth three first rounders.
I don't know.
Two first rounders, maybe. I didn't want to be full 2K Ricky.
I'm looking at that article real quick, and I really like the number four one. That one's probably the best one. I won't spoil it, but we're gonna get to that.
That's why I put it at number four.
I really like that one. But yeah, I mean, looking at it, I mean, I think Boston is the most likely to trade their picks, and people keep saying that the Lakers are going to trade their pick. They got the most
ammo. I mean, it makes sense for Boston to try to make something happen because, like you said, they're in that unfortunate position mm-hmm. where you don't have the 1-2,
and here's the thing, here's the thing I'm going to point out, and this is coming from me listening to Colin Cowherd all this week, is he said in the East, it's a weaker kind of conference. So a guy like a Ben Simmons, a guy like Brandon Ingram can make a difference in the East sooner than he would make a difference in the West, a tougher league. So like a Brandon Ingram, if he goes to the Lakers, he's going to have a harder time making that impact and turning that team into a champion than he would maybe going on to the Celtics and just running the table, getting them to the playoff as a top five team in the East.
I mean, I disagree with I'm not saying that the West isn't the better conference, but I still think
not an all-star, just throwing that out there.
Okay, but we also had the discussion that Kobe Bryant was a fucking starter. So, I mean, it was just a fucking fan vote.
Kyrie Irving got voted in without playing like 8 games.
That. Yeah. I'm saying, like, with that point, Damian Lillard's not an all-star in the West, but if he was in the East, but also, he'd be the best pure point in the East.
But also, Kyrie Irving is the best pure point in the league.
It doesn't have the safety crutch of LeBron James.
Okay, but look what he didn't have, the safety crutch of LeBron James. Kyrie was still fucking amazing. Yeah. Anyways, I'm not going to get in that argument right now, but, you know, looking at the Lakers team, with Brandon Ingram going there, he's still going to have D'Angelo Russell. I mean, if pressure's put on him, he still has D'Angelo Russell. He's going to add, you know, some assists there. He's got Clarkson. He's got Randall. I mean, these guys, he's not going to go to a terrible team. I mean, the Lakers aren't great. Lakers aren't fantastic.
And, of course, they're going to drop some cash with the cap going up. They're going to get somebody in free agency that's going to help him out.
Exactly. So I don't think...
But do you use that cap to get someone in free agency? Or use this to get the Celtic picks to try to get a vet via trade.
See,
I'm not even throwing the Jimmy Butler thing out there. I'm throwing anybody out there.
I look at the Celtics as the team that would make the trade for the star. I don't think the Lakers are going to make a trade. I think the Lakers are set on, you know, going with youth because you've seen it with D'Angelo Russell, you've seen it with Clarkson, you've seen it with Randall. These guys were playing consistently this year. So these guys, I mean, outside of D'Angelo Russell, but that was because
the tank commander had to sit him down.
Exactly.
Teach him how to be a man.
Yeah, I'm outside of D'Angelo Russell, these guys were playing consistently. I mean, looking at the Lakers, they seem like they're at least somewhat, you know,
They've got a core going, and they're committing to it at this point because we've seen what happens when they try to slap on a bunch of aging veterans to try to staple a championship at the end.
I'm not even saying aging. I'm saying like going out there and getting a guy who is in the midst of his prime that isn't an aging veteran.
Well, that's the thing with the Celtics is, you know, people are saying they got screwed out because they're not going to get, you know, one of the potential all-stars, like for sure all-stars with Ingram or Simmons. You look at, you know, Boston though, you know, if the two guys that are heavily rumored is obviously Jimmy Butler and DeMarcus Cousins. They don't really have a great center mm-hmm. in Boston, so obviously DeMarcus Cousins will fit there. And we're talking about getting Jamal Murray, who will play the shooting guard because you got Isaiah there. I mean, you got Jimmy Butler and you can plug him in. I mean, I look at this and it's hard not to say that the Celtics are going to use that pick to try to trade for someone if a trade's going to happen. I think if a trade's going to happen, it's going to be Boston because first off, Danny Ainge just said that there was works for a trade. I think that was for Melo or K-Love or something. Mm-hmm. But obviously, they're looking to make a splash here. And they have a high enough pick to do so. And I just think that, you know, with Boston, they've made the playoffs. They were 6th seed. They have a lot of potential, I mean, a lot of great talent already on that team. So why waste it and just go out and get a star if you can? I think it just makes the most sense that Boston will go out and get it. I know the Lakers have one of the, a large market there, and they need to fill seats. But I mean, Boston's still a big market there.
If I'm LA, I trade the pick because you do not like you do not need Brandon Ingram. That one player is not going to make you better than the Warriors. Better
no,
than the Spurs.
You, but,
better
yeah,
than
but DeMarcus, that, but DeMarcus wait, Cousins wait, wait, isn't going to make you better
whoa,
immediately.
Whoa. I'm not saying DeMarcus Cousins, but that
Jimmy
one,
Butler.
That one player in Brandon Ingram may not even get you to the playoffs in the West. That's what I'm saying. Go
but
out
why
there
are the
okay.
Lakers
get
going
the
short-sighted? Like we were talking about in the East with the Celtics. I agree with you, Sean. If we're talking about the East and we're talking about the Celtics going, okay, we need to go compete for a championship right now. Right now is our time. We're not going to give in to LeBron and the Cavaliers being like East Coast guaranteed. So we need to go get our star. So they have all the picks, all the talent they need to make those trades, get somebody big. The Lakers are in a division where they're absolutely fucked because all the top teams are established. They're all set with their cores. And at this time, all they can do is build up their youth and get ready for the future.
The Lakers can make the most sense
too.
To get Brandon Ingram.
I'm going
to
throw this into the pot, too. And this is a little bit different from what we've been doing. The Lakers have a little different of a situation than Boston does. How many basketball teams are there in Boston?
There's
Just
one.
Answer that question.
There's one.
How many basketball teams are in L.A.?
There's two.
The way I see it, this is coming in.
It adds up.
Just,
I double checked it for you.
Fucking let me talk, man. But the thing that I'm getting at is they have two teams. Well, if the Clippers are getting to the playoffs each and every time and the Lakers are not, I don't care how young your team is and how fucking kids look at them. Kids look at playoff guys. And we could see the shifting of L.A. to they're now the Clippers
of
this
generation. Yeah, I'm sorry. Lakers can just kind of point up at the rafters and be like, scoreboard? Scoreboard, anybody?
You pointed this out before we shot the draft.
We can point up to the
exactly.
Rafters, but we're fucking
there's no
pissed
pressure,
off.
But there's no
and there's
pressure.
No other team.
I would
the
say
Lakers,
there's huge pressure
no,
for
the
okay.
Lakers
right now.
The Lakers hold don't on. Have pressure right now to get a team back into the playoffs instantly.
Hold on.
Yeah, in fact, I see okay. If they take Brandon Ingram number two. Yeah, I'm saying 5 years. They're in the same situation the Bulls are now.
In
no,
5 years,
okay,
they're going to be. Oh,
hold
wow.
on. Okay, okay. In wow. 5 years, I think they will be competing for a title. Okay, if they draft Brandon Ingram. I'm looking at this. I mean, even before the draft lottery, you said, you know, I mentioned, oh, maybe the Clippers, you know, maybe the Clippers can take over L.A. And you said, there's no fucking way. There's no way. And also, if you look at, you know, I said this before, too. Clipper fans are Lakers fans who just reversed their jerseys. I mean, I just.
Gonna get some hate for that.
I don't give a shit. I mean, you know, Laker fans, I think they're, you know, if they see this young core of Brandon Ingram, D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson, and Julius Randle, I think they're going to be really excited about that. Even Larry Nance Jr., who looks very.
Energy off the bench, man.
Exactly. Energy off the bench. You got a great coach in Luke Walton. I think this team has a lot of potential, and I don't see that they're going to be anywhere near the Bulls in 5 years because they still have two young, great players.
Okay,
I mean,
I
with
say,
no injury concerns.
I will say
exactly.
They don't have Garpak, so at least they don't have to deal with that bullshit going on. So maybe not exactly like the Bulls, but what you say about them being in title contention in 5 years just with Brandon Ingram? No, I don't see
not
it.
With Brandon Ingram. With D'Angelo Russell. With Jordan Clarkson. With Julius Randle.
They've got a core going.
With a lot of cap room.
At yeah. the best, there may be a playoff team in
no,
the West.
No, they'll be a playoff team in 2 years. In 2 years, they'll be in the playoffs.
I'll take that bet. I'll take that
absolutely.
Bet as an
8-seed. See, I don't see it.
D'Angelo Russell will be coming into his... He'll be coming close to his prime. Brandon Ingram will have enough time to develop. Jordan Clarkson will have enough time to get his game going. Julius Randle will get bigger. He'll get stronger inside. I think this team's ready. I think this team is, if they draft Brandon Ingram, they're going to be ready to go.
2 years away, and they'll be in the playoffs.
Who's
going to?
Okay, in 2 years, who's going to be the leader of this team?
Brandon Ingram.
You think in 2 years that
Brandon
this
Ingram.
Young kid is going to develop into a leader
yes.
of an NBA team?
Brandon Ingram, yes.
You look, totally think that this young kid, I'm going to say it again, yeah. this young kid is going to develop into a leader in 2 years?
Look
Damian
at
Damian Lillard.
Carmelo.
How long did it take him to take over a team?
Carmelo.
So you're
LeBron,
saying that Brandon Ingram
D-Wade.
Is going to be
those
the
were
exact
instant.
Same?
Those were, yeah, instant guys.
So we're putting Ingram in the same category as those guys?
I'm not saying he's going to be as
we're saying
good,
no,
but
no,
he's
no,
going to
no,
be
I'm
gonna
not
be,
saying as good.
He's going to be an all-star.
As, like,
we're saying
boom,
it's been
leader,
done before
like a
as
team.
A rookie comes in and he instantly makes his impact known. And I'm telling you,
I don't
he's
see,
got enough talent.
I don't. The
and
talent,
maturity
not,
is the question mark.
Look at this. D'Angelo Russell.
It.
There it is.
If you have a question about the maturity, how
no,
can you say
I don't
that
have a question about his maturity.
In?
I don't know it. that's my problem is he hasn't done anything publicly. D'Angelo Russell has proven that he is not up there maturity-wise.
No, yet. He's not. And I
so Brandon Ingram
why with me
is
right
the question.
Now,
that's the thing.
I
point.
See the Ingram thing, and I go, nope. He's not going to – like, I don't see a leader on this team in 2 years. That's why you get the vet, a guy
what,
who can
what,
be a
what
leader.
About,
that's
what about
I'm sitting
Brandon,
right now.
What, okay, you're going to bring in DeMarcus Cousins to be a leader.
I didn't say Cousins.
Oh, yeah,
you
the worst
out,
piece of
you
shit.
Threw out
okay, but
we, I didn't throw out
we've
Cousins.
We've heavily talked about, you know, DeMarcus Cousins going to the Lakers before. We have. You can't deny that.
We foreshadowed that about a billion times.
I'm just saying, I didn't throw out Cousins in this discussion.
Okay,
you did.
Okay, so Jimmy Butler is basically the only other star
and
or
Jimmy
veteran who you could bring in.
Such a great leader, you know. He gets along with management. You know, he's a real rah-rah guy. Gets the team camaraderie going. Oh, wait,
okay.
No, he does none
okay.
of that.
Is it Jimmy?
He's literally shit on every organization chance he's got.
Is it Jimmy's fault or the organization's fault?
I don't know whose fault
I think
it
is, it's a
but
mix
either
of
way,
both.
You could have handled it better.
I think we're looking more at getting Garpax out of town.
At the end of the day,
Jimmy.
You could have handled it better.
You look at Minnesota here. You have a young guy in Andrew Wiggins, former Rookie of the Year. Karl Anthony Towns steps in immediately and becomes the face of that franchise.
I mean, some
in
people
one
would say
year.
Ricky Rubio is, you know.
So wait, are we? So you're going to say that Brandon Ingram is going to come in and be just like Cat Rookie of the Year and unanimous Rookie of the Year? His first
no,
year?
I don't.
No,
I don't
because
think he's going to be unanimous
done,
Rookie like, of the Year because I think Ben Simmons is also going to be. It's going to be Simmons and Ingram, and they're not going to escape this discussion. Is what I'm saying. I think this is always going to be a highly tested discussion.
I'm going to say
this is
though.
Literally going to. Oh
of,
no!
Out of the two. Ben Simmons and Ingram, I like if Ben, let's say the Sixers magically go Ingram at number one. If Ben Simmons is the pick at two, you trade the pick. If you're that is a for sure trade the pick at number two because
if the Lakers can get Ben Simmons,
the way I see, well, I'm talking,
is that, no, I'm just
yeah,
trying to
yeah,
clear
yeah,
it up.
The Lakers
clarify,
would
okay.
get Ben Simmons. I would trade the pick for to get either more picks or a vet because if we're going maturity, I'm putting Ingram a little bit higher. Than Ben Simmons, because if you want this guy, your number two pick, to lead you to a championship someday, I will say this, I will take Ingram over Simmons, because look at what he did at Duke, bringing that team with, like, that hasn't been a great, like, you look at that talent, you're like, that's not a traditional Duke great team, like the one that won the title, and he was able to bring them to the NCAA tournament. Ben Simmons, who's supposed to be the next greatest thing since LeBron James, couldn't even get his team into the field of 64 and then kind of went through and didn't even want to play in the NIT.
Okay, I'm going to end this discussion here. Just no comebacks or anything. I'm just going to end it here because we got to move on. If you look at Ben Simmons, he is a quiet leader. And if you look at that LSU team, there was not a lot of help on that team. If you look at Duke, you have a first-round talent in Grayson Allen. You have younger guys who are fantastic. You had Plumlee who stepped it up in the NCAA tournament. That team wasn't just Brandon Ingram. Also, if you look at leaders right now or supposed leaders of teams, if we're looking at Ben Simmons, who's compared to LeBron James, LeBron James is not that mature. I mean, even now, he's calling out the most valuable player. He's
getting
coaches
fired.
Yeah. He's leaving Cleveland. He's going to Miami. These guys they're leaders, but that doesn't mean they're quality.
The time he spends on social media pissing off people is just incredible.
Well, I'm just looking at it as Ben Simmons could, like, and I know you're saying, oh, well, Duke had a different team, but if you're supposed to be the best player in college, and that's what some people, number one pick, best player in college basketball, you get your team to the tournament. That is your main goal if you are supposed
how many
to be
number
and
one
Ben Simmons
overall,
tried to.
How many number one overall players taken in the NBA draft have won the championship?
I'm not saying won
LeBron
the
James did.
Wait. I'm not saying
well,
won
the championship. Didn't even go to college.
Dave, I'm not saying won the championship.
But no.
I'm just saying getting into the tournament.
No,
into the field of 64.
No, you
got
to be successful. If you're the best player, you deserve to get your team all the way. That's what you're harping on.
No.
You
I'm
demand
saying,
excellence.
No. I'm just saying getting into the fucking tournament.
We're moving on because this is taking way too long. But now let's look into the other things here. I mean, the combine has happened. What players really impressed that might be able to jump into the lottery, or what players with personal workouts can jump into the lottery if we're looking at Chad Ford's mock draft? So, the last pick of the lottery is the Chicago Bulls taking Deontay Davis. After that, you got Ulis, you got Zizek, you got Sabonis, you got Wade Baldwin, you got Zubac, you got Malachi Richardson, you got Bembry, you got Beasley, you got Maker, you got Murray, Jackson, McCaw, Diallo, and then you got Ben Bentel. Is there any other guys that can really jump? Of those guys that I named, are there any guys that can jump in looking at Chad Ford's mock draft?
My main guy who I feel could be. And if you looked at my big board, I ranked him a little bit higher than the almighty and the great Thon Maker, as some have dubbed him in the comment section. But I like Chuck Diallo. I mean, I know he's very, 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 very. How many varies can I put in front of Raw?
Raw, yeah.
But I saw what I saw at the Combine, and I'm looking at it going, okay, he did that. And he, I know he didn't play as much in college, but he got to go up in at least practice against college guys, something Thon has not done in high school. I put Chuck Diallo a little bit ahead of Thon Maker, and I think he's a guy that we could see jump in just because of potential alone.
But what about Chuck Diallo's game is putting him over Maker, really? I mean,
his defense.
Is his defense?
That's what it is. Like,
okay. I'm just wondering.
Thon Maker's great offensively, but like Chuck Diallo, I'll take a defensive guy that I can kind of mold in the paint and mold offensively than a guy that, because I've seen Thibs try to do it, take the offensive guy and mold his defense, and sometimes it's like, oh, that doesn't go
but other
well.
Times it's great.
Other times it's great.
The argument I do want to throw out there, I mean, if you look at Maker, he is very athletic and he's very long, so he will be able to block shots.
I would argue even that it's easier to turn an offensive guy into balancing out his game rather than trying to get a defensive player to develop a shot. I mean, we've seen it with so many players who just don't have that shot, and you become a non-factor on the offensive. You're playing like 4v5. It's like, okay, you're going to be left alone under the paint because we all know you can't shoot.
You're playing Joakim Noah ball, basically. I mean, yeah. and it's basically your DeAndre Jordan ball if DeAndre Jordan wasn't athletic.
Yeah.
You know, if DeAndre Jordan wasn't athletic, he wouldn't
be
shooting.
Isn't that athletic. I mean, he could be.
He's not.
Develop to it, but he's not.
He's not DeAndre Jordan level.
No.
I mean, the guy that I look at is the last pick in the draft is Ben Bento. I don't know
he's
why
like
that.
He's like a staple there.
I don't know why the hell he's at 30.
He's a guy that, I mean, I'm very confused about. I think that he could be serviceable in the NBA, but there's also a part of me that's like, go back to college for one more year.
What do you say about that? And what do you mean, though?
What would he develop in that one more year?
Like, I just see him as he's that post guy, and he's going to come into the NBA and just get mauled in the post by these bigger guys, and then go back to college, work on your game. But I know the whole defense of, well, then you can get an NBA weight room and add some strength and blah, 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 and don't have to worry about classes or girlfriends or this or that.
You're talking about post guy, though. I mean, this guy shot 32% from three. I mean, he just started taking three-point shots here. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't awful from three. I mean, he's developing a deep, like a mid-range here.
Yeah.
I look at him, he's fast. I mean, he's good down low. I mean, he worked well with Chris Dunn. I think he can be great in the paint. I think he can be great outside of the paint. I mean, and the thing about him is he's not great defensively. And we just talked about he could balance out a player like that. I think, you know, the stretch four is becoming so, you know, important to NBA teams. And this guy can be a fantastic stretch four. And I think a team that's really, you know, wanting that, you know, archetypical. Guy, I think Ben Bento can be that archetype of a stretch four. I look at him, I think he's fantastic, and I think he can be at least a top 20 pick. I mean, I don't really want to shy away from that. Another guy I want to throw out there is Malachi Richardson, because I fell in love with him when we watched him at the Sweet 16. He was fantastic.
So it's gonna kind of tickle your fancy that he's climbing up on draft boards.
He's moving up. I mean, I'll give you credit. He's gotten some more attention
to
lately.
The east side. Is he moving on up to the east side?
I hope not.
Is there a deluxe apartment in the sky, man?
Is there any other players? I mean, you mentioned Diallo.
I like Deontay Murray. I think he's got great upside, and I think that it's really going to come down to, okay, once the first two guards are off the board, it's Murray and Dunn are gone. Jamal Murray, to be specific, are gone. Then I feel like he's the third best, and I want to see a team go up and grab him because I feel like talent-wise, he's above a lot of these other bigs who are in those spots right now. It just comes down to team need. And I don't know if a team is going to go out and be like, all right, we really like this guard better than, you know, the bigs we are here. The question is, can you get him later? So I feel like, well, I feel he could get into that 12 to 14 range. He probably is going to fall because of team need.
Final thing, what pick did Chad Ford get wrong in this mock draft?
The Bulls.
Holy shit, the Bulls. We're some homers. But seriously, I understand that we're going to lose, you know, some bigs down low, but having Denzel Valentine go a pick before us and then Tyler Ulis a pick after us, just spit in my face.
I, like, why, if Tyler Ulis is there, why not take him? I'd rather take the backup point guard. Like, I get we're losing Noah. I get we're losing Powell. I get that after the next season we could lose Taj, but we do have Bobby Portis.
And there is free agency.
And there are free. Al Horford's a free agent. You know that, right?
Why are you yelling at me? I didn't make the draft.
Dwight Harden.
and not Dwight Harden.
Dwight Howard.
You're doing it again.
They're the same person.
They're one man.
It's and we've got a bigger cap space. But I want to throw out one thing before I let you do your thing. Did a little research.
Okay.
Since 2000,
yep.
there has been no college player drafted number one that wasn't in the NCAA tournament. Ben Simmons will be the first since 2000, because that's as far back as I went. The only players not to.
LeBron James.
Ben Yarny, because he came from overseas. Yao Ming came from overseas. Howard from high school. LeBron from high school. And there was one more person from high school.
You can Kwame Brown. You can make the argument, though, that Ben Simmons could have made the jump from high school to college. Or high school to the NBA. You could have made that college if that rule still in place.
There has never been
I know.
A college player
that's good.
To be a number one pick and not make the NCAA tournament.
But also, if you look at the teams that those guys were drafted out of, those teams were pretty damn good.
Bogut was Utah. You had fucking Kenyon Martin, he's in Cincinnati.
That Cincinnati team was great. They made it to the Sweet 16. If you look at Bogut, he's in a terrible. They weren't even in the Pac-12 there. I think they were in the Mountain West, so they were probably the automatic berth there. I mean, you look at these guys.
Bid, my bad.
Yep.
You look at these guys. I mean, they're not playing for great top conferences like the SEC. Kentucky, who's one of the best teams.
You're supposed to be the number one pick in the draft, and you can't get your team to the tournament.
All right, Deontay Davis. I'm just going to make this argument for him. Chad Ford isn't saying they should take him. Just Chad Ford said the Bulls were narrowing. The word is that the Bulls were narrowing their three choices to three big men: Davis, Zizek, and Zubac.
Just don't take a big man.
Where's Sabonis? Why not Sabonis?
Sabonis is 17.
He's three picks later. Like, that's what hurts more. Not Denzel before us. Not Utah or Ulis after us. It's three picks later. Okay, there's a big man that you can take, and you're not going to take Sabonis.
Well, I think Sabonis is what he is, and Deontay Davis is all potential because he could grow into a better player than Sabonis. There's no denying that. There is upside there. Sabonis has an established game, though.
And the one thing I do want to say, and this is for Bulls fans listening, I'm accepting it, and you need to as well. We're entering a rebuild. We are. We are truly entering a rebuild, and the quicker you just accept it and let it be, the less high blood pressure you'll have, the less anger you'll have, and the more at peace you will be.
Are you talking to yourself?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
But I am talking to Bulls fans also that we're entering a rebuild. Like, that's what it is, because this team is not going to be what we were before Thibs got fired.
I think the one pick that he did get wrong was Golden State taking Ben Bentil, and that's just because Ben Bentil should be higher. If he goes to Golden State, watch the fuck out. Watch the fuck out. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and that's another thing. Like, fuck it. You can lose Harrison Barnes. I'll take Bentil to come in and take that spot. Or Festus, I'll take Bentil to fill in.
Well, that was an argument we had off. Yeah. Off. I'm just saying
those are the big free agents. I'll take Bentil to fill those shoes.
Anyways, we are going to move on now to the Orlando Magic and to the New York Knickerbockers, because apparently Jeff Hornacek.
Don't forget the Rockets.
Well, yeah, we're talking more to the guys who have signed yet. Well, Hornacek actually officially signed, but there is...
Oh, they hired him.
There's word that he has been hired. Jeff Hornacek is now the head coach of the New York Knicks, and Frank Vogel is now the head coach of the Orlando Magic. Which move do you like better, and why?
I love them both. Is that wrong?
I think they're
both good fits. The one thing... I'm going to cover Hornacek because I feel like that's the way it's going to work out for him better. I feel like people are not cutting him enough credit. They all still call him, he's going to be his pawn. He's not going to come in there and establish his own thing. And it's just completely, I think that's a total slap in the face to Hornacek and what he's done so far and what he can do as a coach. Basically, it's just all these sports reporters shitting on Hornacek. And, okay, he didn't do the greatest job in Phoenix, but same time.
Wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
Wasn't his fault.
His management completely threw him under the bus.
I want to say, though, you say he didn't do the greatest. I mean, his first year, he got 48 wins. He just didn't make the playoffs because that West was so fucking dangerous.
It's absolutely ridiculous that year. Next year, worse, and then obviously fired with a 14-35 start.
But he had a lot of injuries that year, and they also, the year of 2014, they traded Dragic, and they traded Isaiah Thomas.
And
so.
In the first year, after the first year, they lost Channing Frye, who was a big three-point shooter for them. So, I mean, it's not all his fault. I don't want to just keep throwing out excuses for him, but when management is emptying out talent from under you, you can't be expected to continue winning games and improving a team. And I feel like Phil Jackson and him are going to come to some terms. I don't feel like the triangle is going to be the be-all, end-all, but I feel like he's going to have his impact on this team. and they're going to grow better because he's there.
I also think that there's an article on ESPN saying that, you know, he might abandon the triangle and he might just make him run. I mean, we don't know what he's actually going to do. Phil Jackson might abandon.
I mean, I have a sad thing of good
luck
trying to get Carmelo to run, but
does he have to does he have to be married to the triangle? Is that how
I don't
he got
know.
The job? We don't know what was said in
right.
the
Yeah, I mean,
meeting.
we don't know what Phil's going to do.
I think
I mean,
the triangle is something on his contract that's just kind of like drawn in there. It's like, must.
You have to check the triangle instead of checking the box.
Well, it reminds me of on the DP show, they had Byron Scott, and they're like, oh, are you going to look for any jobs? Like, oh, I'd love to coach again. And Dan Patrick just goes, how do you feel about triangles?
I mean, I think Hornacek is going to do a fantastic job in New York. I love the hire because I love Jeff Hornacek. I mean, as a head coach, I think he does a phenomenal job with offensive talent when he has it.
Can I ask a kind of correlation question?
No.
To Hornacek while bringing out my Bulls fandom a little bit?
Fine.
Just one question. This goes off of what you were saying about Hornacek. You see 48-34.
Yep.
Then you see 39-42, and then he was fired that third year. Hoiberg didn't get 48 wins, but he went 42-40, missed the playoffs barely by one seed. In 3 years, is Hoiberg the Hornacek to the Bulls? Because of Gar Paxson, he gets fired just like Hornacek did.
Could be a similar setup.
Could be.
I mean, it depends. I don't expect Gar Paxson to dump talent on levels that happen to Hornacek.
Or
though.
Keeping talent too long, like giving Derek Rosemax contract. I know it's a little off topic, but it's just something that popped into my head.
I mean, I look at Hornacek. I don't think he is the best hire that we did see. I think Vogel is the best hire just because I think the Magic have more potential on that team. I think Hornacek is going to have a harder time getting that team to the playoffs.
Here's the thing with the Magic and Vogel. There have been, and I don't know if it's just beat writers trying to entice readers, but if you're Frank Vogel, do you make a serious pitch to bring Dwight back to Orlando?
Why would Frank Vogel want that, though?
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying that you go with it. I'm asking you, Sean. I'm throwing it to you.
I'm sorry. All right. I look at that. I mean, you know, Dwight didn't want any part of Orlando before. So, I mean, why would you want to bring him back?
He's a more mature Dwight. He's a different Dwight.
Is he?
Did you see him on TNT when he kind of opened up to the world? I think that was a little bit staged.
I think it's a lot staged.
I think it was staged to let Dwight kind of look like a more mature individual.
I look at Orlando. You have Vucevic in the center position. You have Gordon who can play the power forward position. You have a top 10, 11 pick. I think you can go out and get a big man there. I think you can get a younger guy and stick with the youth there instead of bringing in a possible cancerous old big man who's really lost his step. I mean, Dwight Howard isn't terrible, but he isn't great. He's not the same Dwight Howard who won three defensive players of the year.
Right.
Or you do
right.
what you did in the mock draft and just take Thon Maker at 11?
I picked that just because I saw him. I mean,
because you forgot about Sabonis. You know, I'll give you that.
No. Sabonis was staying where he was. Sabonis is going 17. I look at Thon Maker and
originally you texted us and you're like, oh, fuck, I forgot to put Sabonis on there.
Yeah, but I knew where he was going. I was taking my old mock draft and just copying and pasting and, like, you know, putting it into there and I forgot to copy him back in. But I look at Thon Maker, and, you know, we talked earlier about it in the Chad Ford part, but, you know, he has the athleticism to be a defensive player and a rim protector.
And Vogel is a defensive head coach.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at Roy Hibbert, he turned Roy Hibbert into a monster down low. I think
he disappeared.
Yeah, I think if you take
from the face of the earth.
I think if you take a guy who doesn't have, you know, defensive prowess right now, but you can really develop it, that's what's going to be the best part because, you know, Roy Hibbert really wasn't anything on offense. But now if you take a guy who has an offensive game and who has the athleticism to be a great defender, that's why you're going to go with someone. I think you go with a guy who is more athletic than you're going with Dwight Howard, who, you know, was a great defender, but he's not a great defender anymore. I think keep Dwight Howard out of there. Keep the youth in because that's what's the best part about Orlando. I think Orlando made the great hire of getting Vogel. I think Hornacek's still a good hire, but I feel Vogel's
like
better because Vogel has proven himself and he's got a younger team to work with and he's got more potential there. I just think that
I feel like the turnaround is going to be bigger for Hornacek, though.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he'll have an instant impact because this team is not going to be the shit tier team
it's New York.
That we watched this year. So, I mean, I see what you mean. It might be a better fit Vogel, and this team can go in the playoffs and get deeper. But I don't think Hornacek's impact will be like less than that. I think Hornacek will have a better win like differential.
Do not disagree. I do not disagree with you at all. I'm just saying more that Vogel has proven himself. I think it was a great hire for Orlando. Yep. Orlando. I just think I look at Vogel and I look at Hornacek and he will have more difficulties than Vogel in Orlando. That's more of the thing I'm saying.
Fair enough.
If you look at Hornacek, he's getting a young Porzingis who already has potential. Who already has a year under his belt. He's got Carmelo, who's obviously still a good player. He isn't the Carmelo of old, but he's still a good player. He's still a good shooter.
Top scorers. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you look at this, and this team does have potential, and they do have cap room. They can move to get players. I think that the Knicks are in a good spot. I don't think the Knicks are screwed.
Do you think the Knicks would trade some players for a pick?
I wouldn't put it past them
to try to get a pick this year because they have zero.
I wouldn't put it past them, but again, I feel like
each team would go, so how's Melo working into this? That's what, if you want a top pick of mine, how's Melo going
to
work?
I'm just saying
this?
Anything in this. Do you feel like they're going to trade some talent to get back into this draft? Do you think there's anybody in here that would really help this team?
Unless it's in the lottery.
I just don't see a player that they can trade because Aflalo is on an expiring contract. And
Melo's the only one?
They're not getting rid of Porzingis. They're not going to get rid of Melo because, if you're going to get rid of Melo, you're going to get, a top 10 pick or top 15 pick.
And I keep telling you this, Sean. You're pronouncing his name wrong. It's not Porzingis. It's Porzingod.
You're hilarious.
You got to get it right.
You're so funny.
I keep telling you this. Yeah, we'll get it one day.
What hire do you like better? Because we talked. I like Vogel better. You seem to like Hornacek better, but I'm not saying either are bad.
Yeah.
First off, before I get into this, I feel like a little deja vu here because I feel like I've been in this exact position with this exact picture of Hornacek on my screen being asked this question between the two. But I like Vogel better because I feel like in the long term, he's going to do much more for the potential of that team. The big difference between these two, Hornacek's going to have more of a pressure to win now than Vogel. And the reason being is we know New Yorkers.
The city.
We know how they do.
We know Frank Izzola.
We know Frank Izzola. They draft Porzingis. They get mad. They get reactionary. As soon as you lose that first game, get them out of town. But that's a terrible New Yorker.
That was awful.
But that's how I see New Yorkers. I don't give a shit. I'm from Chicago. But the way I see it is Hornacek, it's not going to be he's going to do bad because of it, but he's just going to have more pressure than Vogel because Orlando to New York, Orlando's just like, hey, man, you got the potential. Get us there.
You're not
wrong.
And
he will get them there, but he's not going to be after 1 year under a microscope like Hornacek will in that New York media, that New York fan base, that New York everything.
Someone who's been under that New York microscope before, Mike D'Antoni.
Fisher? Oh, I was going to say Derek Fisher.
Mike D'Antoni. I don't know how Derek Fisher plays into this at all. Mike D'Antoni, who has apparently become the emerging head coach or leading head coach candidate for the Houston Rockets. They are still interviewing people, but he seems to be the emerging head coach for the Houston Rockets. Do you like D'Antoni coming back to the NBA? Do you think he can do something with James Harden? Do you think he could really do something? Maybe possibly Dwight Howard.
I mean he's
let's
the
say
king.
Keep Howard and just go back to the D'Antoni.
He's the king of the pick and roll.
Shoot threes and have him just cherry pick under the middle.
It's worked for him before. No, I think D'Antoni can do great things with great point guards. That's his thing. Is you give him a good point guard. Mm-hmm. So with Harden being that shooting guard who is going to have that ball glued to his hand,
the ball.
Good fucking luck trying to get a point guard the ball on that team.
Sometimes glued to his hand. He just turned the ball off.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. To the other team. Yeah. It's either him or the other team. It's nobody else on
his
team.
He's got that Houston glue. So if you're on Houston, you got getting it off, but the magic powers of the other team.
Yep. So, no, I think there's potential for it there. I don't really love the fit, but
I don't know.
He can get them... They're going to be an average team.
What the fuck are they going to do? That's where I'm sitting. I don't know. They could go with, D'Antoni. They can go with Kenny Smith. They can go with James Borrego. I don't know where they're going to go, what the Rockets are
I feel
thinking.
Like the Rockets are stuck, being a weirdly mediocre team because they've got an excellent player, but they don't have the right pieces around him.
Well, my thing was their biggest mistake was making the irrational kind of early move to say, we're going to fire our head coach this far into the season.
I mean, maybe they weren't in love with Kevin McHale in the first place.
But your team
is Kevin McHale that much better than Mike D'Antoni?
Would he have gotten you through the Warriors? Probably not. But I mean, would you have gotten through the Warriors without him? No, but
definitely not.
I just see the Rockets and I go, I don't know who they're going to take, and no matter who they take, I don't see it as boom. They're now a legit contender in the West.
I kind of look at it as you look at LeBron when in his early years in Cleveland, where he didn't have that much help around him. They mm-hmm. just, for some reason, could not get him the help around him. Mm-hmm. But you have a worse player in James Harden. I mean, I'm not saying James Harden's a bad player. They are, but LeBron James is the best player in the NBA.
LeBron James is still getting like 55 wins with no talent around him, and James Harden's not going to do that.
Remember when James Harden played well as a number three on the Thunder?
Yeah, until
the playoffs
came.
That's what you paid for. That's what you paid for, Houston, and that's what we're seeing. You overpaid for a guy who was
really?
A really good player as the three, and now he's in Houston just barely getting by.
That's incredible.
I don't think he's barely getting by. I think he's been fantastic, especially last year where he was in MVP discussion.
No, I'm saying like as a team, like overall, you overpaid for this guy, and now you can't get anybody to play with him when he's the number one on the team.
He doesn't
have Durant and Westbrook in front of him saying, dude, you're the three. Get behind him.
I don't think it. I think he can be the focal point of a team.
If they didn't give him the money, somebody else would have.
Yeah. I think they did put him in a bad position with the other moves they made. I don't think
Howard wasn't that great either.
I don't think James Harden was a bad move at all. I don't think that. And I think he can be a leader of the team. I just don't think he has anyone to lead, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean,
another year of this, and we may be talking about, should the Rockets trade James Harden? I almost said Dwight Harden, but James
You're
Harden.
Welcome.
It's
contagious.
I don't think D'Antoni's going to make that much of a difference. I don't think he's going to make that much of a change. I don't think you guys disagree with me. I think I'm agreeing with you, Dave. I don't think anyone can really come in and make that much of an advantage. I think it's really going to rely on the front office because, you know, if you look at that team, you got Trevor Ariza, who isn't terrible, but he's not a good number two. You look at Dwight Howard, he's aging and isn't what he used to be. You look at Patrick Beverley, he's good off the bench, but, I mean, he's also a point guard, and he's really not able to play that position. You look at, you know, a guy like Monte Yunus, he seems like he's got a lot of potential, but he never touches the court because he's always injured. You got Clint Capella, who's young, and he might turn into something great, but outside of that, there's really nothing on that team. And Michael Beasley was a good flash, but can he still be can he really turn that flash into
that
something great?
That Beasley pickup was wonderful, by the way. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. It was fantastic.
But yeah, no, you're right. It's entirely on the front office. They need to take care of this organization and figure out what they're doing. The direction this team needs to change because whatever they had last year, they understand, let's go, didn't work for us. Let's get something new in here. Let's do something better.
This isn't a big prediction, but it's what I'm feeling at the moment. Houston's not going to make the playoffs next season. I know, shocker.
I'm looking at
the standings right now. Dallas, I kind of want to say they wouldn't, but I like Dirk too much, so I'd still put them in.
That's fair.
The Grizzlies are going to be healthier than they were this year, so maybe they can get back into the playoffs.
But aren't they going to be better?
That's the thing I'm thinking.
They're the land of misfit toys.
However, yeah. For sure, I can say the Rockets will not be in the playoffs this year.
Wow.
And the teams that I think, two teams that I'm going to be high on to get that eighth spot, the T-Wolves and maybe the Jazz get into the playoffs next year. More the T-Wolves because they've been shaking things up in the right direction.
I agree with the T-Wolves because you're finally getting a great head coach in Tom Thibodeau. And Flip Saunders wasn't bad. Unfortunately, he did
have to pass.
Because
let's be honest, the top five teams in the West, Warriors, Spurs, Thunder, Clippers, Blazers, they're still going to make the playoffs next year.
T-Wolves are 12 wins out of a playoff spot, just to give you some idea. And out of those 12 wins,
add in a guy like a shooter like Buddy Hield, who's Chad Ford's having to go with a Tom Thibodeau-led team.
Chad Ford hasn't taken Chris Dunn.
Dang. I thought they had him either or.
I haven't gone with Buddy Hield. I think that might be the right move.
Chris Dunn works better because then he can fucking trade Rubio.
Don't start that. We don't want to get rid of all the Minnesota fans.
Skull Vikings.
I mean,
I'm on their side again, guys.
I agree with you that the Rockets might not make it. I think the Jazz can take a step up.
Can still do it.
I think the Timberwolves can step up. I think the Mavs will fall out just because they are getting older. And I'm going to throw this out there to piss off Ricky. I think the Lakers with Brandon Ingram can make the playoffs.
Won't happen, but sure, have fun.
Anyways, we're going to
put $100 on that.
We're going to move over to the MVP fantasy draft. We started getting in the discussion, or we said before that Steph Curry is the best player in the NBA. And now, you know, people in the comments are saying, fuck that, he's not.
He's
the best offensive
player. He's the MVP.
He's the best offensive player, but not the best player. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to be kind of Adam Silver here. And I'm going to have Dave be the number one overall pick, and he gets to pick any player to start his team with, and you're going to get, you know, your second pick, and we're just going to trade off back and forth. And then the people in the comments are going to decide
which team is better.
So what we're going to do is you're going to pick five players to start off your team.
Is this like a for one game, or is this for
seven
like
game
a series?
Okay. Seven game series. So what we're going to do is Dave's going to get the first pick. Ricky's going to get the second and third. Then, Dave's going to get the fourth and fifth.
Let's go back to Dave. Let's just go back and forth. Like, like a real draft. No snake drafts.
I was going to do snake draft. All right, are you guys ready?
Real draft.
So, Dave, you are on the clock in the MVP fantasy draft. Your first pick is?
LeBron James. He's Steph the best player in the NBA.
Steph Curry.
Like, are we going rapid fire mode here?
You know Ricky cuts off everyone. Well, he does. I was going to take Steph Curry right when you took LeBron, so I just wanted to get it out.
Okay, well, can I have, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why are you taking LeBron over Steph is what I'm trying to say.
LeBron James is the best all-around player. Steph Curry, I will give him his credit. He's a fantastic scorer. But LeBron James can play all five positions on the court. No one else can do that. LeBron
don't need James, him to play five. Can only need him to play one.
LeBron James has the most effect on his team around him. There, as far as impact goes, the guys he can drag with him into the playoffs who are piss-poor players who somehow look passable on his teams, then other people pay money for these people and they turn out to be trash again. It's like, how much better does Steph Curry make his teammates? How much better does LeBron James make his teammates?
I think he makes his teammates. Steph Curry makes his teammates
better. Think about that
impact. Just the kind of morality of Steph Curry, and he is one of the just funnest guys to be. Yeah, I know it's not a word, but fucking
funnest guys.
Funnest guys.
You know what? I'm going to take him because he's the funnest guy.
He's a cool guy.
I'm going to pick up Andrew Varejao then. Funnest guy.
He's the coolest guy. He is the player that is the best to me, and he's kind of ushering us into the new generation of the NBA.
All right, Dave, you're on the clock. Number three pick. Steph's off the bird. LeBron's off the bird.
Off
the Larry Bird. Who are you going with your next pick?
I know we can go legends.
I don't know, because it feels like I should go like point guard here, but at the same time, I'm going to go Kawhi. I just think Kawhi is such a fantastic player, and position-wise, we'll just make it work. We'll just make it work.
KD.
You're going KD?
You're all scoring. You're 112% scoring.
There's no defense for Ricky's team.
I was going to take Kawhi, but I wasn't going to take him with my second overall.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
All right, so you got Ricky, who's got Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, and we got Dave, who's got LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard. Who are you going with? Are you going to go with a big man, or are you going to go with someone under 6'7"? You got two small forwards here.
No, I'm not. I'm going to have to go with Jimmy Butler on this one.
Going defense again.
Hometown.
There is someone totally I would have taken before him that I'll take right here.
All right, okay.
Russell Westbrook.
Again. Well, Russell come with you.
All right, you're right. Russell, I should have picked Russell.
Yeah, I'm going with a point guard.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I was expecting you to go Westbrook, Lillard.
Yeah, Russell's the right pick, I'll just go.
I want to put this out there. Who's playing your point, though? Is it going to be Steph or Russell?
Oh, Russell's playing the point. Curry's at the two. KD's at the three right now.
All right, now, Dave, your pick. You got LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, and Jimmy Butler. You got defense galore. Are you going to go with an offensive player here?
Never. It's just the question of, like, do I go Chris Paul or do I go Lillard? Like, Dame Lillard is fantastic and can score. Chris Paul is the best distributor and the best all-around pure point. But I feel like I have to go Lillard. I'll stick with Lillard.
You're going to go Lillard. All right, yep. Ricky, who you got? You got Steph, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook. Who's your next pick?
I'm thinking two big guys, and I'm thinking the power forward or the center. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to take you through my thought process.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm either thinking, well, I'm not listening to you.
I just want to hear this.
I'm either thinking K-Love, LaMarcus Aldridge, or do I make a splash and go Porzingis or Cat? That's what I'm thinking. Do I stretch the floor?
Okay.
Do I keep it the same? I'm gonna go with LaMarcus.
Boogie.
I'm going LaMarcus.
You're going LaMarcus Aldridge, and you're going Boogie without even questioning. All right, why'd you go Aldridge first, then we'll go
because
over
to Boogie. I'm going to play Aldridge at the five, and I got someone that I'm going to come into the four to stretch the floor.
And why are you going DeMarcus?
The best center in the league? Because he's the best center in the league.
I don't need those personal problems on my team in a best of seven.
Go. Your last final pick.
This is going to shock the world a bit. Some would say, Ricky, take K-Love so he can stretch the floor. I'm going to go Cat.
All right. And you guys are fucking morons. You left Anthony Davis on the board.
Yeah, he was injured. That's why we left him
He's
off the board.
He's still healthy in this fictional thing.
Can we trade him? I'll trade LaMarcus for Anthony.
You
I can't believe
you
picked
pick.
LaMarcus over that.
I can't believe
I fucked
none
up
of
with
you
Westbrook. I wouldn't pick Anthony Davis in my top five.
All right, so why?
You would put him in your starting
as
lineup?
As a center, I would totally have him as the center and either Cat or Aldridge
at
the four.
So let's recap. Dave picked LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, Damian Lillard, and DeMarcus Cousins. Ricky picked Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Carl Anthony Towns. Now, Dave.
Notice how I have no East players on my team.
Now, Dave, go through your starting lineup and give us why your team is better than Ricky's.
I have the best defensive team, and I have the best down low presence. I have, honestly, like, versatility is the key for my team. I've got between Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James and Jimmy Butler, three guys who, size-wise, huge, defensively, huge, and can cover everywhere across that court, just smothering amounts of defense. And then Lillard, who can score from the outside, can distribute the ball, and then down low, DeMarcus, it doesn't get better than DeMarcus Cousins down low. He can stretch out. He's got an amazing shot. He's got great presence in the paint.
Now, why is your team going to beat Dave's?
Two things. First off, try scoring over 150 points against me. And two, try defending it when Steph Curry comes over half court and just puts it up.
Okay.
He makes it.
Now, who's going to be covering Steph Curry? Is it going to be Jimmy Butler? Or is it going to be
Jimmy on him.
You're going to have Jimmy on him? And then who's going to cover Russ?
Actually, you know what? I'd have Kawhi on him. Fuck it.
You're going to have Kawhi on him?
Yeah, so who's going to cover KD?
LeBron's going to be on KD?
LeBron on KD. Yeah.
Who's covering
Kat? Kat's on the outside. Stretch four. Who's going to cover him?
Boogie. Who's going to cover LaMarcus
Aldridge? LaMarcus then in the middle.
That process.
I mean, you don't have
so
who's Damian Lillard going.
I'll just dump it down to LaMarcus if that's the case.
So
oh,
I
that's
mean,
true. Yeah.
People down below, you got to tell us in the comments who's going to be.
Dave fucked himself. That's what happened, boys. Dave fucked himself.
Who's going to win in a 7-game series and who and how many games and why? And also,
dude, hashtag Team Widmer, man.
Also, who is the
that
biggest
Westbrook pick? Just fucked me.
Who is the biggest
missing
scrub?
That? It's over.
Who got scrubbed in this
Kat,
draft?
I can't believe you picked Kat. Honestly,
unanimous rookie. I just wanted. I love Kat.
He's not even a top
Kat.
10 player.
Love Kat. Love him.
I mean, not a lot. I don't think LaMarcus Aldridge is a top 10 player.
Okay, no. I put in there that some people would say maybe if I'm looking to stretch the
floor. To be fair, we didn't have prep time. This is off top of our heads.
This is totally off top of our head. Well, the thing I wasn't thinking about Anthony Davis was he was injured this year, so I wasn't.
He still played.
I still don't think he's a top 10 player.
Yeah, but he was injured. Like, you could say that, but I would still, like, if I would have thought about that, I would have taken him.
Him over Boogie?
To be the middle. No. I would have him. Over Boogie, yeah, but I would have him and then LaMarcus
over LaMarcus.
My inside.
I would have him over LaMarcus for sure.
Well, LaMarcus would move over to the power forward, and I would take Davis over Kat.
All right. Tell us down below who is going to win in how many games and why, and also tell us who's the biggest scrub out of this. This is our MVP
over
finals,
under
basically.
How many comments we get calling us idiots.
Oh, I'm
this.
An idiot. I'm definitely an idiot. I would call myself. I'm going to go in the comment section as soon as this video is posted. Like, Dave, how the fuck did you fuck this up?
Anyways, Dave isn't too confident, so I think Team Widmer is going to win.
I don't know. I got a lot of defense out there, though.
2K Widmer is going to take it. Let's going to wrap it up for the fast break this week. It was fun. It was fun arguing about the Lakers. It was fun talking about head coaches' vacancies. It was fun doing this draft. And Ricky, it seems like he's going to be the winner in this series. But again, tell us down below in the comments who you think is going to win and why. That's going to wrap it up for us. For Sean Anderson, I'm Sean Anderson. And for Dave Oster and Ricky Miller, thank you so much for listening. And if you do want to check us out on Twitter, check us out at Most Valuable Pod. If you want to check me out on Twitter, you can check me out at Schwarbo. You can check Ricky out at Ricky Widmer. And you can check Dave out at Dave_don't_tweet. And you can also find us on Snapchat at Most Valuable Pod. You can find us at Facebook at MVP Sports Network. And you could also check out our Patreon page that I mentioned earlier, patreon.com/Most Valuable Podcast. And there's some fun perks if you do become a patron. We would love the support from there. But anyways, that's going to wrap it up. If you did like this, like it down below in the SoundCloud. Or if you're listening on YouTube, hit the like button down there. And if you're listening on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. We would love that support. And that's going to wrap it up. We will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter @MostValuablePod for more great podcasts.